While Mr. Brocklehurst was talking, I hid my face behind my writing slate so that he would not see me. But suddenly the slate fell from my hand and broke in two on the hard floor. I knew what would happen next. Mr. Brocklehurst looked at me coldly.
"Come here, child."
I was too frightened to move, but two big girls pushed me towards him. Miss Temple whispered to me, "Don't be afraid, Jane." I saw it was an accident. Her kindness made me feel better, but I knew that soon she would hear the lies about me, and then she would dislike me too.
"Put the child on that chair,"
said Mr. Brocklehurst. Someone lifted me up onto a high chair so that I was close to his nose. Frightened, I felt everyone's eyes on me.
"You see this girl?"
said Mr. Brocklehurst.
"She is young. She looks like an ordinary child, but she is not. She is very wicked. Children, don't talk to her. Stay away from her. Teachers, watch her carefully. You must punish her body to save her soul, if she has a soul. This child, I can hardly say it. This child is a liar."
"How terrible," said the two Brocklehurst daughters.
"I learned this,"
continued the man,
"from Mrs. Reed, the kind lady who cared for her. In the end, Mrs. Reed was so afraid of this child's bad ways that she had to send her here. So, teachers, watch her carefully."
She had no time to wait. She had to get home to her husband. She came flying across the room toward him. He thought she was going to hit him. "I'm going to have your baby," she said. He had spoken it aloud. The words seemed to float out over the canyon. "I thought she was going to blame me. But she said she wanted to leave her husband and come with me." Rain began to fall. It washed through quickly without thunder or lightning. Barry turned his back to it. He said nothing until the land was quiet again. "I could not do it. I saw it was impossible. We did not belong to the same world. We could never have been happy. So, Rail, I know a little about growing up, too. You are going to be okay." The buildings of the ranch spread out through the trees. One was the bunkhouse where Barry, John, and Rail lived. Barry got there early in the morning as John was coming out. "Find him?" John asked. "No," Barry answered. "He must still be down in the canyon. I talked to him all last night." "What did he say?" "Lots of things you would not understand." Another cowboy stepped out of the bunkhouse. Each morning, Turner met them in the yard and gave them their tasks for the day. He was walking toward them now. "Just got a telephone call," Turner said. "He's all right." "Where is he?" Barry asked. "In Aylard. He is in jail." "What do you mean?" "Rail was in town last night. He had too much to drink. Somebody got mad and called the sheriff. It will cost $30 to get him out of jail." "I have it," said Barry. "Okay, let me know when you get back." He turned and walked to the barn. After a while, Barry went into the bunkhouse to change his clothes. There was no hurry to get to town. Rail could wait a little longer.
You have been listening to The American Story, Looking into Nothing by Kent Nelson. It appeared in the publication The Transatlantic Review and was adapted by Donna DeSanctis. Your narrator was Shep O'Neill. For VOA Special English, this is Doug Johnson.